From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of September 2010. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. In today's agricultural news, the White House is reviewing a U.S. EPA E15 labeling proposal. The bidding war to buy Canada's Potash Corporation is still underway. And Senate Democrats may put forth a single piece of legislation to extend, before the November elections, the Bush-era tax credits and estate tax cuts. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, as we close out our half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the nearby soft red winter wheat December contract at $7.19¾ a cent. It was up a penny and three quarters. March at 7.50¼, up 2¼ on the day, and the May at 7.59¾, up 2 cents. Hard red December in Kansas City at 7.56¼, up 6¼ on the afternoon. From the corn pit nearby December contract, lost ¼ a cent as it finished out the day at $5.05. The March contract at 5.18¼, gained ¼ a cent. The May futures at 5.24½ were up 1¼, and July corn at 5.27¾, up a penny and a half for the day. December contract from the corn pit for next year at 4.77½, up 3¾. November beans, $10.88½. 8½ cents higher. January at 10.98½, up 8½. The March at $11.06¼, up 8¾. And May at $11.08¾, up 8½ cents. July $11.12¾, up 8¼. Meal at $3.06.20, up 2.70. Oil at $42.87, up 45. Live cattle October down $1.32½ at $96.17½. September feeders at $109.25, down $1.25. And the lean hogs October contract at $78.70 were down 60 cents today. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like. Crude oil futures, November contract, $74.72 a barrel, down 25 cents. Ethanol at $2.05. That's down 10.5 cents. And the October natural gas at $3.97¼, 5½ cents higher. October heating oil futures, $2.10¢, down 12 cents. Our penny and 0.2 cents. And the gold futures today, $1,290.20 an ounce, up $17.80. The Dow at 10,754 is down 6.3. U.S. dollar at 79.8 is down 0.62. And the CRB index for the day at 278.91 is up 0.55 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say skies today should be mostly cloudy. Yet this afternoon, there'll be some scattered showers and thunderstorms out there. The high near 84 degrees, southwest winds between 7 and 9. Precip about 30% on its chance. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 67. South-southwest winds between 6 and 9. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. High near 92 degrees, it'll be breezy. 9 to 12 miles an hour with gusts up to 18 to 21. All the way up to 31 miles an hour by the time we get to the end of the day. And then tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms. That'll happen likely after 1 a.m. Increasing clouds, a low around 67. South-south winds on Thursday evening between 15 and 17, gusting to 25. A 70% chance of precipitation tomorrow night. On Friday, a 50% shot for rainfall. Showers, thunderstorms before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Partly sunny thereafter. A high near 77 degrees. And by the time we get to football Friday night, mostly clear. A low around 51. More details on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour. And we talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He comes to us, of course, from Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley is with us. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's wet a little bit. I don't suppose many producers are moving. Maybe a bit of corn left in your area, but the beans certainly, that'd be, I would think, too tough to move around in. What do you see at the elevator there?
Well, it basically died here, but there are certain communities where they're still going, you know, full throttle. I think southern Illinois is still going pretty good, and I think it was a day of rest here in Oakland and also reflection, and the market basically, I think, absorbed quite a bit of selling and shrugged that off pretty well.
What do you think about the reflection? What does it tell you about the marketplace when you took a little time to look at it? And I suspect you were talking to more farmers today than if they're off their vehicles than usual.
Well, I think it reflects as of right now. I think the market's trading a 160 corn crop to 160 and a half, somewhere in there. I think that we have to have more information to really say we're down at a 158 or something like that. The marketplace is absorbing a tremendous amount of farmer selling. It has seen a tremendous amount of speculative buying in here. And in time, we did take some good news overnight with some additional rainfall, but this monumental or quantitative easing that the Fed is talking about basically said we have to speed this slowdown in the economy. They're worried about deflation. And as a result of that, this is one reason why we're seeing gold higher, the dollar weaker. And I think it did have some overnight trading in the commodities, as well as when people realize that it's the definite focus by the Federal Reserve to get this economy through some inflation back to some sort of a normal activity.
Yeah, a weaker dollar generally means better demand, or at least better export demand in the overseas markets. Do you think that'll happen, and can it get better than it already is?
Well, yes, it can get better, and probably, you know, three things that people focus on, of course, is the gold, the silver, the stock market, the crude oil market, and also, you know, indirectly, the grain commodities are also very reflective of that. But it is a very positive mark on the bullish side of the equation. That, as well as basically continuation of basically looking at the soybean market, continue to be strong, too.
You know, one of your favorite phrases has been, the trend is your friend. Do you believe it today?
Oh, sure. You know, this is a very unusual situation, and, you know, it reminds me so much of the 1970s. It's scary, but it's a little different in the fact that we did, in this situation in the 70s, early 70s, we saw one monumental buyer called Russia. Now we're seeing a tremendous shortfall, and I think the buying ultimately will show up in the marketplace. But the other buyer, of course, is this China with this tremendous demand in soybeans.
And when you reflect upon that, we know that farmers tended to sell much too quickly in that particular marketplace. Should they, if they're making sales, decide to protect themselves at this point to the upside?
One reflection back there, I think we've also seen a tremendous amount of not only selling this crop, but have sold next year's crop way too cheap. And that bothers me when I hear that. But as far as replacing it here today, you know, as far as the beans are concerned, you know, hypothetically, if you do have an $11 bid on beans times 70 bushels, that's a monumental gulp there. You know, in the corn, too, there was some $5 DEES, Jan, and March sales. I think that the real feeling here is if I had to err, I'd rather sell the beans than I would the corn at this juncture.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go for the
afternoon?
Have
a profitable day.
You too, Paul. Thanks much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul has to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report on our daily programming. And you can find Commodity Week. That's our weekend look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. It's all at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Okay, two notes here. The first one, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. I'll tell you that if you happen to be out in the field and you're not getting rest at this point because of the rainfall, or you're in and working on some machinery, why don't you take a little time out and take a nap yet this afternoon? I bet that'll help you out. The specialists here on campus say, you bet. You need that little rest during the day. We all do. And it'll make you more bright and alert throughout this really tough harvest season. All of them are. So it doesn't matter whether it's this one or the last one or the next one. They're all kind of tough and long, so take time. Take care of yourself, too. The other is, if you miss us on the radio, you can always catch us on your phone at 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. Now, here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, the White House is reviewing a proposal from federal regulators to require labels on gasoline pumps selling fuel containing up to 15% ethanol. A sign the government could be close to approving a higher ethanol blend in gasoline. In its filing to the White House, the Environmental Protection Agency said the labels are needed on pumps, quote, to ensure that consumers do not fuel their vehicles or engines with unapproved fuels. EPA officials were not available to comment on whether the labeling proposal means the agency is preparing to allow E15 fuel. The agency previously said on its website that it would propose an E15 labeling rule for pumps at the same time it made a decision on the higher ethanol blend petition. China's Sinochem Corporation has hired investment banks to look at toppling BHP's $39 billion bid for Potash Corporation. State-owned chemicals group Sinochem has hired Deutsche Bank and Citigroup to evaluate measures to foil BHP's bid for potash. Both banks declined to comment. The owner of an Iowa egg farm company says in testimony prepared for a House hearing today that he was horrified to learn that his eggs may have sickened as many as 1,600 people in an outbreak of salmonella poisoning this summer. In testimony released by the company, Austin Jack DeCoster and his son Peter DeCoster say they believe an ingredient sold to them by an outside supplier may be to blame for the outbreak. An FDA investigation found towers of manure and bug and rodent infestations at the farms, and an investigation by a House subcommittee found that the companies had received hundreds of positive results for salmonella in the 2 years before the outbreak. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the number of reported illnesses in the salmonella outbreak have reached 1,608. CDC notes illnesses that occurred after August 12th still may not be reported, but the agency says the outbreak appears to have peaked in July. Senate Democrats are considering piecing together a continuation of the Bush tax credits and a renewal of the estate tax in a single piece of legislation lawmakers hope to consider before they leave town in advance of the November elections. No final decisions have been made as to what would be included in the legislation, details of which are expected to be unveiled later this week by Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Two notes here. First, please do visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. The second is to say thank you. Thank you so very much for listening to our programming. It means a great deal to Dave and to me. You know, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week, and the Safety Council is reminding farmers and ranchers to take care during the harvest season. I'll have more in a moment on one of the nation's most dangerous jobs and the number one cause of injuries on the typical row crop farm. If you think about it for just a moment, you can probably guess what the number one cause of injuries is on the farm. Without a doubt, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Safety Specialist Bob Aharon, it's machinery.
Well, the number one injury, not necessarily fatality, is getting caught in moving machinery components. We're trying to make some kind of adjustment or unplugging a machine, and we get caught in it. We really should be shutting the equipment down whenever we do any kind of close interaction with the machine because of the risk of getting entangled or caught in some component of it.
Putting your hand or foot in a moving machine is a good way to lose it. Please, please shut that machine down before trying to fix it. And farmers and their employees should not, for a moment, think their lives aren't at risk during the harvest season. 500 to 800 people die every year in farm accidents. Bob Aharon says some of those happen later in the year when producers are working to empty grain bins, but not all of them.
The other kind of area of fatalities is on the roadway. When we're moving our equipment on the road, and usually the fatalities occur occasionally to farmers, but the other driving public who run into the back of our wagons, combines, field cultivators. And it's very important that we drive defensively, that we make sure, first of all, we recommend not having our equipment, moving equipment at night if at all possible. The risk is much higher because it's harder for people to see us and see how wide we are. But whenever we're moving, day or night, that we make sure we have flashing lights on our equipment so people can more readily see us. That dramatically increases a person's recognition of you. We must have a good SMV emblem, too, so that in Illinois it requires an emblem that meets American Society of Ag and Biological Engineering standards. It's kind of a technical term, but 276.4 or greater, or 0.5 or greater, that emblem is a newer emblem that's visible at 1,000 feet, and that's required to be on all farm equipment in Illinois as of 2004 when we're moving on a public roadway. The older emblems are only visible at 400 feet.
On the subject of roadways, traffic needs about 1,000 feet of warning to avoid a slow-moving vehicle, front and back. On curvy roads, the only way to accomplish this is to have a lead and trailing vehicle. And one final note, this one on tractors. Only half of the farm tractors used in the United States are equipped with life-saving rollover protective structures with seat belts. Safety, it's not just something to think about. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain markets for the day from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Tara Oliver joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Are farmers in the field there today? Did you get rain overnight?
We did. We got some rain a little bit overnight and even this afternoon, but people have still been in the fields and corn's still been coming in here.
I take it probably no beans and too tough to do that.
Yeah, really haven't seen a whole lot of that. More people are in the field with corn right now, I think, kind of switching back and forth a little bit. And with the rain, I think the corn didn't really suffer as much, didn't get too much added on to the moisture, so things are still going good.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. They're probably pretty dry.
Have been extremely dry, so yeah. The rain actually didn't hurt anything and may have been good for it.
All right, and then the other question is, as we get further into the harvest season here, have they been happier with their yields?
Yields on beans have been pretty good in this area, significantly up from last year. Most people have seen probably anywhere from a 10 to 15 bushel per acre increase. Corn, though, is down, and that's kind of what we've heard. A lot of it's been determined by soil conditions. Some of the drier, sandier soils have been doing a lot better, but most of the bushels have been called about down 10 on the yields per acre.
Can I take you back to the bean market just for a bit? Earlier in the week, we had a pop in the marketplace based off some cold weather, some here in the North American area, and then, of course, the most important part for the soybean market in China.
Right.
I'm wondering whether basis in your area, which had been very, very strong in the bean market because there was a lack of beans and most of the end users were in need of it, had followed that along, and has it widened out as we've gotten into the harvest season? Not many beans coming in really yet, I don't think, or has it stayed strong?
Actually, basis has weakened quite a bit. There was a pretty big push early on for beans. The processors were in need in the August time frame, and with harvest starting earlier this year, a lot of the basis has kind of dropped off a little bit sooner than they have in past harvest years. And really, they are weakening now, and we are seeing quite a bit of beans done in the Delphi area. I would even say maybe 30 to 40% done in this area on beans, and there continues to be quite a bit moving, so really the basis has weakened and probably will stay in that range for the glut of harvest.
Yeah, and then kind of a similar assessment from you for the corn?
Corn, we have seen really basis levels have kind of stayed the same. I know there were a few end users who did have stronger basis levels, but most of the processors are kind of comfortable with their inventory and the flows that they have coming to them now. I think almost everybody's gotten into their cornfields to start or should be getting that way soon, except for maybe up north in the state. So most of the corn processors have basises that have weakened off and probably now kind of leveled out to their harvest level.
And then if you look forward, there'll be an expectation for the basis to start to narrow up as harvest begins to finish up. Mm-hmm. When do you think that might happen?
In our area, I think we're kind of predicting harvest to wrap up around the end of October, mid to end October. You know, there may still be some people who are getting stuff done at the beginning of November, but I don't really think you'll see a whole lot of improvement in basis until December.
And what are your bids for the day?
The bids for the day, we are at Climber's Corn for September, $4.70, October's $4.70, November's $4.85, December $4.95, January $4.98, February $5, March $5.05, April $5.10, May is $5.13, June is $5.15, July is $5.18, and harvest of 11 is $4.37.
Thanks so much, Tara.
No problem. Thank you.
You have a good afternoon. That's Tara Oliver. She's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And in just 2 minutes, I'll return with the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Philadelphia in 1728, the oldest living botanical garden in the U.S., where many giant trees may still be seen that he planted. In 1877, Victor Shelford was born, an American zoologist and ecologist. He was one of the first to treat ecology as a separate science. And in 1985, the first Farm Aid concert was held at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Willie Nelson, Neil Young, and John Mellencamp organized the first concert. to raise awareness about the loss of family farms and to raise funds to keep family farms on their land. The show was put together in 6 weeks and was held before a crowd of 80,000 people and a live television audience. It raised over $9 million for America's family farmers. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, thanks for being with us. We had a little rainfall here overnight last night and this morning. How much rain in the area do you think? And then how widespread was this kind of rain?
Well, we had a lot of rain occur in Iowa and parts of Missouri, and then it kind of bled into Illinois, but it kind of fell apart as it did so. And some of the rain totals in Illinois, running just from a few hundredths of an inch up to three quarters of an inch most often. There were a couple of pockets out there that got a little bit more rainfall, though, than that. But it was still Iowa and northern Missouri that got slammed pretty hard once again with some 1 to 3 inch rains. And it's the same area that's been hit, I don't know how many times here in the last few weeks. And it's just plenty wet and needs to dry out. We've got a lot of crop waiting to be harvested, and it just can't be done right now. But there is a change in the forecast that does bring some hope to those wetter areas. There's a little upper-level cutoff low-pressure system that will be moving through the central parts of the country as we get into the weekend and early part of next week. And it's kind of the dividing feature, I guess, of the old weather pattern with the new one. And what's going to happen is we're going to generate a dry weather biased pattern for most of the western Corn Belt that will take us on out into the first week of October. And so Iowa, that's been so wet, and parts of northern Missouri will also have an opportunity to dry down. Same thing for northwestern Illinois for at least a 5 to 7 day period. Now, there may still be some rain that shows up later down the road, but we are looking at improving tendencies. There will also be a potential for a tropical cyclone that maybe move into the southeast corner of the country as we finish out September and move into the early days of October, and that too will reinforce the drier biased weather pattern for the western Corn Belt. So I think finally, places in the west will do a lot better. Now, there is one storm system left to come across the western Corn Belt. That occurs tonight into the morning on Friday, and there will be some heavy rain still in Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of northern Iowa, and some areas in northwestern Illinois where we will see some half-inch to 1.5-inch amounts, some local totals getting over 2 inches. But that storm system will weaken as it moves eastward as well, and then we'll set that stage up for the drier bias conditions.
We've reached that time in the northern part of the world, in the northern hemisphere, where the growing season comes to abrupt stops. Where has that happened so far?
Well, so far it's been in most of Russia's eastern and northern production region. We've seen some frost and freezes in northeastern China here in the last couple of days. We're going to see more of that as we go through the next 2 days. And Europe is still pretty much frost and freeze free except for Scandinavia. We've seen some freezes there. And then, of course, Canada got a hard freeze this past weekend that ended the growing season for most of the prairies. We're still in the growing season, though, in parts of Ontario and Quebec and their corn and soybean producing areas. So you're absolutely right. It's that time of the year. We're going to continue to progress through that. So it's just a matter of time before we do the same here in the States.
Planting season ensues in the southern hemisphere. We don't have much time. Can you update us quickly?
Well, we are still concerned about the planting season in Argentina. because of an erratic rainfall pattern, very typical of La Nina spring seasons, and they're going to continue limping along, waiting for a better rain event, and it's going to take a few weeks before that happens. In Brazil, we're waiting on seasonal rains in the north. They will be showing up in about a week to 10 days. And it looks like Australia's sorghum crop will go into the ground under perfect conditions over the next few weeks.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.